We're very blessed to have Colin as our song leader, and I echo the words of appreciation for the experience of meeting each week with this church. You know, it's very important for our continued spiritual strength to do that. Last Tuesday night, I was sitting and I was thinking about the coming Thanksgiving Day and of all the blessings that I have received in my life, and thinking of appropriate thoughts. A Bible scripture kept coming into my mind as I was thinking on these things, and it kept intruding in my thoughts. And the start of that, you will recognize the scripture that kept coming and flooding in my thoughts: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I decided that that might be an appropriate part of scripture for us to think about this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sometimes I make a notation in my Bible as to when I preach, especially if it's an expository sermon on a long part of scripture, such as the Psalms, and I'll make a note what day I last preached or taught on that psalm. And I happen to have such a note in my Bible of Psalm 23. I spoke to you on that psalm in June of 2000. Now, if you remember 19 years ago what I said, you have a much better memory than I have. What a wonderful blessing it is to have this psalm in the Bible. I was astounded one time. I went to a Jewish funeral. A friend of mine's mother died. And so I went out of courtesy to the graveside service, and it shocked me that the rabbi read Psalm 23. I thought that was our verse. And then I remembered, well, wait a minute. The Jews have celebrated this scripture as well as Christians have celebrated all these years. So it's a phenomenal part of the Bible. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Translation, which is not my custom, but I think the wording of the Old King James on Psalm 23 is so familiar to us that it would not sound right to read it from some of the more modern translations, which I usually use. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Although they are familiar, the words are never without their power to make us feel confident, to make us feel comforted, and to make us feel courageous about life. We do not know when exactly David wrote this psalm, but I think it's the words of experience. It's when he's much older. And he can write about all the different experiences that he had and what it meant through those years to have the Lord as his shepherd. Now, David was recognized throughout the world as a great king, powerful king. And even the prophets looked forward to the restoration of David's kingdom. But I think David in his own heart knew something that was very important. Though he was adored and worshiped and ruled over men, he was but a sheep who needed a shepherd. That's something that every person should keep in mind. Regardless of how successful we might be in life and how much we might be respected by our fellow men, we are a sheep that needs a shepherd. The promise that I shall not want. I guess one of the things that brought this to my mind is I was being thankful not only for my physical well-being over the years, but for my financial security over the years, and how whenever, you know, you worry about finances and something comes through for you, and you look back over your life and you're like David, I am old and I have been young, and I've never seen God's children begging for bread. That there is a security. He will satisfy our needs in every time of our life. Jesus taught us we should not be anxious about our life, what we shall put on, what we shall wear, what we shall eat, because God will see that we have those things that we need. The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. I like the phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. One of the greatest stories in the book of Acts is the story of the shipwreck. While the Apostle Paul and the others were being bound over to prison and they were on a ship to take them to Rome, they had a shipwreck. And it was a frightful experience. And after so many days of storm, the Apostle Paul appears before the captain of the ship and the sailors, and he makes this statement, an angel of the Lord, whose I am and to whom I belong. Isn't that a great way of expressing one's relationship to God? I'm owned by him. I'm not my own. I belong to God. And if we belong to God, then God will see that our security is in place. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, and my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. Whether it is physical or spiritual or emotional or mental, there is from our God the things that we need. He makes me lie down. In reading the background about shepherds and sheep, it's interesting that sheep like to graze very early in the morning. I would not be a shepherd. You have to get up at 3:30. That would not be my choice of occupations. And lead the sheep because they begin grazing about 4 a.m. and they graze until late morning. And then when they're full of grass, their temptation would be to go somewhere and find water, but that would be the worst thing that could happen to them. The shepherd has to make them lie down in green pastures. And that tells me that sometimes those periods of our lives when we have stopped or been stopped, that things have halted for a while and we are confused about that. It may be that it's the shepherd making us lie down for a while. Because what we're inclined to do at that time in our lives would be the worst thing that we could possibly do for our health, for ourselves, even though we think that's what we want. And I'm reminded of the statement that the stops of man are as ordered by God as his steps. Sometimes it's good that we've been stopped. In fact, in another song, David was celebrating this fact. He said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, because before I was afflicted, I went astray. But after he went through a period of sickness or whatever stop he went through, he came back to the Lord. It was good for me to have stopped. The still waters are, as the more modern translations, the quiet waters. Sheep are not animals that love to be in the water. Their thick wool makes them susceptible to drowning, and they are very much afraid of crossing rough waters, fast-flowing waters. And so the shepherd always makes them go by, and he finds for them the still waters, the quiet waters. You and I are often timid and afraid of many experiences. We might be surprised how many disasters have been averted in our lives because God kept us from the fast-flowing, rushing waters and led us till we could find some still waters that we might cross or that we might drink. He restores my soul. How easy it is to stray. I think this is in the latter part of his life, because here there must have come to his mind his experience when he strayed. David was not at all a perfect man, and certainly in one point of his life, when he had been most blessed, he fell into serious sin, adultery, and even murder. But he came back. And he came back to the Lord, and the Lord accepted him. There's another song in the Psalms that says, though a man stumble, the Lord will lift him up. It's easy to stumble. It's easy to stray. Just like a sheep can stray from the flock, the shepherd comes back and reclaims us. You know, the sheep have no sense of direction. They just can wander, and they don't see well. And just like with you and with me, it is not in man to direct his own steps. And certainly if the blind follow the blind, they'll both, Jesus said, fall into the ditch. We would be lost in our lives without guidance. Sometimes that guidance may seem hard on us. It may keep us from doing things we want to do. It may lead us into things we'd rather not experience at the time. But there is a wonderful thought that's in this psalm that's also in our hearts. God is guide. And one of the songs that we sing in the church, he leadeth me, O blessed thought. The leadership of our shepherd is important. The valley of the shadow of death. Some more modern translations just call it the valley of the shadow of danger, or darkness. I like the old translation because I guess that's the one that we most often think about finally facing. But we do not face that valley of death alone. We have the promise that God, our shepherd, will guide us through it. One of the experiences of this year that has been important to me personally is to walk with our dear sister Jean Nichols as she faced the valley of death, and to see how she faced it with such faith and confidence. In almost the last few hours of her life, when I was with her and we talked about it, and she was so calm and peaceful. And her last words to me, if I don't see you next weekend, I'll see you on the other side. And we all are going to face the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I will fear no evil because the shepherd is with me. I've seen so many wonderful Christians face this hour, and I hope when it comes my time, I can face it as well, in full faith and confidence that God is there with them, leading them, being with them. I want to skip down to the phrase, he anoints me with oil, my cup runneth over. For a long time, I thought anointing with oil, I associated it with, you know, being blessed or something like that. But in studying the background of the shepherds and the sheep, at the end of the day, the shepherd would examine each sheep, take his head and look him over to see if he had scratches and any wounds, any problems that need to be corrected. If he was wounded, he would put oil on there. And I think now it's a beautiful imagery to me of how God anoints us with oil at the end of every day, of the bruises and the scratches and the injuries that we have sustained that day, that somehow the Good Shepherd will be there at the end of that day to examine and to put the oil on there. And the cup running over is, of course, the symbol of the water that the sheep would want so badly at the end of the day. And his cup would just keep being filled with water and bubbling with water. And it's a wonderful view of how God takes care of us every day. He says that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I have been puzzled a little bit at the wording of this part of the psalm. I guess I wish that it read, goodness and mercy will be with me all the days of my life. And while that's true, that doesn't seem to be what it says. It says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so whatever we go through, the end result is goodness and mercy, or some translations give love, will follow our lives. We do know that all things work together for good, and maybe this is a positive way of expressing that same sentiment, that all things work together for good. Because as we go through life, trailing behind us through his help will be goodness and mercy and love. What a great heritage that we can leave. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In part, my friend, that's our responsibility. It's not necessarily the shepherd's responsibility, it's the sheep's responsibility. Keep yourself in the love of Christ. The reason he can say so confidently, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is because that's his determination, as it can be our determination, that no matter what happens in life, no matter the experiences that we have and the disasters that we have avoided. You know, I think about that when I'm thankful for things. I'm thankful for all the things that haven't happened to me. If we go through it all, I am determined, as I know you are determined, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to sing the invitation hymn. Let's sing two verses of it. And if we can assist anyone to confess their faith in Christ, to be baptized as Joseph was a few weeks ago, or if we can have prayer with you while standing.
I don't know about you all, but I feel truly blessed today. Colin and Alan, thank you so very much. You took us to a meeting, a Christian meeting today. And I am so grateful and thank you for your song service. And Alan, for your articulation of Psalm 23. It adds new depth to me on a personal level. And I would encourage you that tomorrow morning I will have that sermon up on the website, to go to the website and get a pad and a pen and listen to the sermon again and again, because that would be the exact prescription I would write for those with a troubled heart. the lesson today and the song service. It's a medicine for a troubled heart, for one unsteady, for one looking for insight. It's a perfect prescription, so I would encourage you to go to the website. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we just thank you so much for allowing us, Heavenly Father, to be present for this lesson today. It was a bridge over troubled waters for us, if we submit ourselves to the will of God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to not think we have all the answers. Help us, Heavenly Father, to submit to your will, to listen to your words articulated to us by your spokespeople, to help us, Heavenly Father, to become more obedient as a sheep, because you are our shepherd, and we are your wards. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we understand that when we follow your word and follow your deeds and do those things that you would have us to do, we will find the peace that we seek in so many areas that truly drive us even more for more confusion. For you, Heavenly Father, are the peace. And if we immerse ourselves in this 23rd Psalm and immerse ourselves in this day of service, that Heavenly Father, we will find the peace that we really seek. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed, folks.